direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Very thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. So thankful again to bring these radio broadcasts to you. Well, we're taking up our study again where we left off in John chapter 3 in the aftermath of this great teaching when Jesus said to this Pharisee Nicodemus, "I tell you, most assuredly, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That was a huge statement. That was a statement so important for us to understand because Jesus essentially said that unless, dear radio listener, you have life implanted into your heart by the Holy Spirit, you will perish forever. And you will not see the kingdom of God. So this is a very important section, especially considering that Jesus had said this to a Pharisee, the pillar of religion, the moral compass for the masses, the one who was leading people. Now think about the implication of this, leading people of what he thought was entrance into the kingdom, and he himself had not been brought into the kingdom. What a dynamic, isn't it? What a sad dynamic. And I want to open this up today and consider the aftermath of this great teaching with Nicodemus and how he responded to Jesus' teachings regarding the new birth. At the end of John chapter 2, something was said that if not understood, really makes everything Jesus' teaching here in John chapter 3 totally misunderstood. By the end of chapter 2, he had already made quite an impact on those who witnessed his actions and saw his awesome power. Many took up and many began to follow him. We read in verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." But Jesus himself, emphasis there, did not believe in them, for he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, we looked in detail at this a few weeks ago. They believed in him, but Jesus did not, in the Greek pistuo, he did not believe in them. You ever heard that? You say you believe in Jesus, you do well, but what happens when he doesn't believe in you? Now that's a problem. So we read the reason for it here. It says, because he knew what was in man. The law and the prophets always told us what was in man, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, I don't know how often I hear, even in the Christian world today, just follow your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to what your heart tells you. Follow what's on the inside. It's a guide for you. And friends, by now we should know that is really evil advice. Out of the heart proceeds all manner of evil. The heart is desperately wicked. And Jeremiah asks the question, who can know it? It's that last question that's so interesting. Who can know the human heart? And what do you read at the end of John 2? Jesus knew the heart. He knew what was in man. He's the only one that can define it for us. So immediately, someone comes to Jesus, one of those believers in Jesus, whom Jesus did not believe in. You'll notice the play on that. At the end of chapter 2, he knew what was in man. Chapter 3 begins, now there was a man. Notice the connection there. And here Jesus discourses about salvation. And we're amazed that the very person he discourses and confronts about divine deliverance is a Pharisee. Oh, we've reacted to those Pharisees, you know? But John was showing us a picture of what is in every religious person's heart who presses close to the kingdom but has not himself yet entered. Jesus derailed him. Nicodemus, I tell you, unless you're born again, you cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Now, we should really try to put ourselves in Nicodemus' shoes. Can you imagine how severe an indictment that was? Pharisees were the law keepers externally, 613 commandments memorized. And Jesus says, you cannot live until you're born, making clear that Nicodemus, you have not been born yet. Huh? Who's your great hero today in the faith? You know, we have this Hollywood mentality today in the Christian church, where in all of those who write a lot of books, who have a lot of letters after their names, it would be like Jesus confronting your hero and saying, you've done all that, and you yet haven't been born again. What was so derailing about saying it to Nicodemus is that all of his life, he had been teaching people about how to enter the kingdom. Everyone came to him about how to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus confronts him and says, your salvation doesn't come by keeping the law. It doesn't come through your covenant membership. It doesn't come through your circumcision or blood connection to Father Abraham. I mean, this is what the Gospel of John is all about. The only way it happens, Nicodemus, is by the Spirit regenerating your heart, implanting life into your dead heart. And he's completely sovereign in that. It's like the wind. You know the wind. You hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. We don't control the wind. We don't control the Holy Spirit. He gives that birth to whom he sovereignly will. When Paul learned this truth, you know, when he understood that his righteousness did not come through the law, remember his attitude? He rehearsed all the things he had done as a Pharisee and in Judaism, and when he was confronted with his inability, he counted all of that dung. You see, that's what Jesus essentially does here with Nicodemus. In one swoop, he shows that all of our righteousness is as animal dung. I use that because that's the words of Scripture. It's worthless unless the Spirit imparts life to your dead heart. And we're not talking about people who've fallen just off a one-story building. We're talking about people who at the fall fell from a 50-story building. And when they fell, they died. That's how the Bible characterizes the human heart. Not just bad, but dead. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins. So what a moment this is. You know, Nicodemus, I'm telling you, you don't need to better keep the law. You need to die to yourself and become a whole new man. You see, that is what Jesus is now doing here. This is so utterly simple, this glorious gospel message. I pray that this week on Abounding Grace, as we open John 3 and we get to this really well-known passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that I deliver this and teach you with such simplicity that you would understand the gospel in all of its beauty and in all of its clarity. The whole point of what I'm driving to this week on Abounding Grace is to teach Nicodemus and to teach us how salvation occurs. Nothing is more basic, nothing is more beautiful, nothing is more awesome to study than John chapter 3 in how wretched sinners, dead sinners, are given everlasting life. Jesus is now teaching how it happens in John 3 and the way it is received. But there's only one way that he will accept. There's only one way, and that is by true faith, worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, a faith that apprehends, a faith that receives Christ's righteousness apart from the law. And that humble dependence upon him can only occur in you, my friend, if the Holy Spirit imparts life to your dead heart, making it alive. So in other words, the fruit of our regeneration by the Spirit is true faith. Belief that embraces Christ and embraces everything that Christ gives, as Romans 10 says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who believe. He satisfies all the demands of the law in our place and is the end of the law so that we come under grace. Now, Nicodemus did not understand this. Do we? Do you? Let's begin today. After Jesus had spoke of the absolute necessity of being born again and our law-keeping affecting none of that, Nicodemus, in verse 9, asks a question. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and says, "Are you a teacher in Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Oh, this is a big moment, isn't it? What was Nicodemus asking? How can these things be? It's best translated, how can this happen? The key to understanding this question is Jesus' response. We know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. It's interesting, it's in the plural. We know, we testify. What's that a play on? Well, in verse 2, Nicodemus had come to Christ and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God." Nicodemus had come as a smug Pharisee, and now we're getting a sense of how he approached Jesus. "We know you're a teacher." He was full of self-righteousness. And Jesus, in a sense, is mocking his unbelief. "Are you a teacher in Israel and you do not know these things? We know and we testify what we have seen." So Jesus has something to say about the very division Nicodemus made. He had already said in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So in other words, the whole religious heads of the church, the Pharisees, were of the flesh. And Christ is here making this crucial separation between those who are alive and those who are dead. Those who are alive are able to know and live these spiritual things, but the natural man cannot. Now, my friends, here's the painful truth today. The dead one before Christ was a leader in Israel. Jesus had been describing the need for the new birth, and Nicodemus asks about what it is, and Jesus says, "You don't know? You teach people about entering the kingdom, and you don't even know how that occurs? The most basic truth about entrance, you don't know the effects of it?" It would be like saying to a pastor, "You're a teacher of justification by faith alone, and you don't know it comes by Christ's righteousness and not your own?" Nicodemus was totally unfamiliar with what the evidences of the new birth are. And that's what I want to start with this week. Do you know what the evidences of the new birth are? Can you look and see what a past life of unbelief is in the choices you made and the things that were dead, and that the Spirit gave you life to now love the things of the Lord? To now be a new man created so that you are a slave of righteousness? Do you know what that is? Do you know that distinction? Do you know what being dead in trespasses was, because now you are made alive by grace? This week, we're going to unpack that. The only way that can come is when the Spirit changes your heart so that you embrace Christ and all of His righteousness, and then the things of Christ become yours. Is that true of you, dear sinner? You must come to Christ, believe, and trust the gospel. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. The website is www.lindenurc.com. You can have a blog there that you can interact with. Lots of resources there for you. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.